This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. Catch your Central Division champion Chicago Wolves as they battle Grand Rapids in the first round Friday and Saturday night at 7 Allstate Arena. For playoff info, visit ChicagoWolves.com.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Was Yu Darvish's outing more frustrating or satisfying against the Marlins? And where is your confidence level with him?
Why would it be frustrating? Of course it's not frustrating. He won and he was good and he's getting better and he's here no matter what. He has $101 million left on his deal. So again, you've got to figure out a way to learn to love this guy. You've got to figure out a way to get behind him and accept the fact that this is the guy who, whether he is your ace or not, he's paid like it and he's not going anywhere. So find good reasons. Find reasons for hope. And I thought there were reasons for hope. I thought his velocity was one. I thought watching him last as long as he did it into a game was one. It's good to see a guy go 5 2/3 innings and we're praising him. You know, let the guy pitch. Get out of the way and let him pitch. There's nothing else you can do about it. Find a way. My confidence level with you is that he's going to be here. Yes, he's going to be here. And I'm gonna find a way
live with it. Him being here and you being confident in that fact doesn't mean you're confident in him as a pitcher,
I think
though.
He's making incremental steps.
You're confident that he has a contract.
I am confident that he's not going anywhere.
Okay.
I think I applaud your enthusiasm, but I think it's easy to see why people might be a little bit frustrated watching the first couple innings last night. I mean, in the first inning, he had 2 outs and then he loaded the bases. In the second inning, he walked the 7th and 8th hitter by throwing mostly breaking balls and nibbling around the plate instead of going after guys with his stuff, which was on last night the longer he stayed on the mound. He was frustrating. He walked 4 batters. He hit a batter, and it was not always the smoothest of execution of pitches, and he probably went too deep into his repertoire like he is prone to do. So it could be frustrating for a guy that has been known to frustrate a few people in Chicago. He hasn't had a victory on the mound, even though we don't count wins necessarily as much as we used to. It has been since May 20th of last year that he won a game. So I get why it would be frustrating to watch, but it was also satisfying to see him go deeper into the game, as deeper than he has all season long. He did make progress. I want to be fair to him. The velocity was impressive. He did things that you want to see. He got out of jams. I thought it was great after the game, when they said, why did you walk 4 after walking none in your previous start? And this is Yu Darvish saying this about Yu Darvish. He says, I'm Yu Darvish. He kind of understands the mystery that and the enigma that he has become. So my confidence in him is probably not as high as yours, but I think it is growing.
He's become entertaining. I'll
Grody
say that.
Time! Yeah!
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Grody.
All right. Hey, the place looks great. Bears. Oh,
Bears.
We're putting in a little something over there.
Oh, you got a new computer system in here. It's 97 degrees in the Wolves Update studio. It is so good to be here.
Oh, what a joy.
Yeah, it is a joyous feeling here. Dustin and Z-Pack and nice guy Ray.
It's all good stuff.
Yeah, yes. It's all good. I'll say this about Yu Darvish. I need Yu Darvish to be great. That's the problem. It's like this whole, like, I think he can training wheels approach, like, incrementally better by the start. He is here to be great and nothing less.
He's not the little engine that could. He's the highly played engine that might.
Well, yeah. Well, as you would say, Molly, he's the engine that's here. He's here.
He's here. Yeah. He's arrived. So
that's it.
There's no doubt.
To love him.
I guess so. But yeah, you pointed out, Haw, the back-to-back walks in the second that ultimately leads to a run. One thing I did like, one thing I love that Yu Darvish did, he hits a batter, and then that same ball at 99 miles per hour hits the home plate umpire, and the reason I liked it is because a couple of Cubs hitters had been hit by pitches up to that point, and the point was made on the broadcast, and Cubs are going to be a little bit frustrated, so it showed a little bit of backbone by Yu Darvish to hit a guy.
It was a start. He went 5 2/3. The Cubs won the game. He got the win, so that's good. And he is going to be here, Mully. I love that is your highest praise of Yu Darvish is that he exists and he has a contract and he will be here in Chicago for the next,
like an in-law for the holidays. He is here for the duration.
I just don't know if I don't know if I'd call it frustrating, because the offense showed up and he didn't get shelled and he didn't lose his cool too much and he managed to keep the team in the game, which is all you can really ask of a starting pitcher. But allowing 9 base runners over 5 2/3 innings, it's not good. It's not sustainable. And if you start pulling that stuff against a team that's not the Miami Marlins, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. So he keeps ticking up gradually, you know, from 2 2/3 to 4 innings to 5 1/3 to 5 2/3. Next time out, he'll actually get 2 6 innings pitched, but it's too many base runners. He was getting himself into too many jams. His defense, gosh, he owes Albert Almora something pretty nice for that catch that he made, bailing him out of what could have been a pretty big inning early in that game. So while it's not a complete disaster for me, I still have not seen enough from Darvish to be completely confident in him every fifth day.
One small step for you, one giant leap for Cubs starting rotation. I mean, I have to jump on board with the Mully glass half full here, I guess. Boy, I mean, the other thing, David mentioned the 330 days. That's the second win. That's only the second win for this guy against the Marlins. Okay, if the Cubs don't sweep this series, okay, you may as well put this thing to bed. I mean, seriously, this team is awful. And to applaud that, how are you throwing breaking balls? Get the ball over the plate and let guys like Albert Almora Jr., as Kevin pointed out, bail your rear end out. He's wearing my rear end out.
Ooh.
That game was frustrating as all get up last night. They're up 3-0. And the answer back is great catch by Albert Almora Jr. And then let's load the bases against the freaking Miami Marlins.
It's a great question.
Bad team. Irvin Santana's struggles continue, and the inconsistency of the White Sox starting pitchers does as well. Which would you be more likely to consider as an option, pursuing free agent Dallas Keuchel or calling up Dylan Cease?
Well, Santana should be a guy that you don't have to expect much out of. He's here to be flipped, presumably. But I think that after last night, people are saying, kind of taking the Mully approach to it, like, okay, that's fine. He's here. He's the 5 innings, 3 runs. That's kind of what you get out of that spot in the rotation. Dylan Cease on the way. I think the most exciting development of the Sox starting rotation in the last 10 days or so is hearing that Rick Hahn and Dylan Cease's people have talked about a contract extension, which if they come to terms on one, then maybe he can get to Chicago sooner rather than later, because he is a pitcher and you don't want to, you know, you have so many innings to pitch and so many pitches to throw. I would like to see that more than maybe Dallas Keuchel, although if they were to suddenly get into the conversation for Dallas Keuchel in a 1-year contract, I don't think it would be the worst idea in the world. I don't know how long the Santana experiment will go. I hope that he continues to get better. If you want to look at last night as a mini step forward, okay, I'm not going to argue with you too much, but I still think you are going to need more, and especially with the starting rotation that has been inconsistent early. So of those two, I think I would favor Cease coming up to the majors before pursuing and paying Dallas Keuchel what he will want to be paid.
Yeah, Dallas Keuchel or Dylan Cease, I'd take them both. I have no problem bringing everyone in. Mm. Sox have a ton of money. Dallas Keuchel, I mean, I don't want them going long-term contract, which, of course, is what he's looking for, which is why he hasn't been able to sign anywhere, or his agent told him he was going to get more than he apparently is going to get. But if he decided to sign a short-term deal, I'd have no problem. They got nothing but money. Why not bring him in and, you know, throw a few 10, 20 million at him? I'd have no problem with that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, go get him. You have to get him. I'm not getting on a table for the guy. But if he's sitting out there and he can't find it and the music's playing and suddenly there's no seat for him, bring him in. I mean, that'd be better than nothing. And Dylan Cease, yeah, I want to see him when he comes up. I want him to get the contract done. I want him to dominate where he's dominating, and I want him to dominate when he gets here, and I don't want any injuries for any of the young guys ever. But I'm good with it. I think we feel like Dylan Cease will be here before the end of the year. Don't think you need to rush him because of what's going on with Erwin Santana. We talked about this idea that the schedule is in their favor now. I'd like to see him win a few series here, put some series wins together, and crawl back to 500 and see where you're at. They're in a terrible division. And at some point here, the Indians are going to begin their rebuild. And then it's going to be a wide-open division. And hopefully that is timed up correctly for the White Sox and no one else.
I am 100% in the corner of Dylan Cease. Like, of course, if they signed Dallas Keuchel, obviously this is not a bad thing. But, you know, at age 31 at this point for Keuchel, I don't know where he fits in with a team that I don't think is going to be sniffing the playoffs this year. So I don't know if he's going to be part of your core going forward. It feels like to me this would be one of those cases where it would just be a weighted contract and be a pain in the butt to you down the line. So I'm all about Dylan Cease and getting a look at him over Dallas Keuchel.
Well, I'm very excited about Dylan Cease, and he's been spectacular so far. Just a couple starts. Pardon me. In Charlotte, starts in Charlotte. Let's try
sharks,
that one more
sharks,
time.
Like
no,
you said.
Let's not say that. I don't think, though, that you have to rush to bring him up. You don't need to fast-track Dylan Cease to the major leagues this year. It's not like the White Sox are contending. And I know the division is pretty bad, Molly, and I think that this team could, if the rest of the rotation shores up a little bit, they could be better than some people think. The offense looks very good in some portions of the lineup, especially Tim Anderson once again last night. But
right field
not so much. Well, at least Polka started on the bench last night.
He got in the way of a pitch. You know,
he walked a couple base. Times too, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he got hit by a pitch.
Three times.
Oh, he's fantastic. That was a great game.
I wanted the White Sox to sign Dallas Keuchel months ago. And Grody, you bring up the age, you know, 31. If you sign him to a four-year deal, I don't think it's going to absolutely kill you at the end of it. I mean, you threw 36-year-old Erwin Santana out there last night.
Right, and that's not looking very good.
And luckily, he's only on a one-year deal. But I think the Dallas Keuchel would be a much better option at this point. Clearly, Cease has a higher ceiling, and hopefully he will be an ace-type guy eventually. But I don't think there's any need to you know, speed up his process and get him up here as soon as possible. I just think that's... As much as I would love to go down to a game and see Dylan Cease in Chicago, I just think we need to just relax a little bit on that one, just pump the brakes a tiny little bit.
Yeah, I don't see what the rush is on Dylan Cease. Keuchel makes sense for a couple of things that have been mentioned already. Mully, you talked about the schedule leaning in their favor, perhaps. They could win a couple series here. The division's not great. So, and they have a bunch of money sitting around. Here's the other thing. If Keuchel's good... Okay, because you'd think he's pitching for his future, right? He's got no demand. He's not in charge. A team that wants him will be in charge, assuming that he wants to get off the couch and put down the natty light or whatever it is he drinks, and he wants to
play
baseball.
Looks like a natty light guy.
Right?
Yeah.
He looks like a natty light guy. Then you could trade him, right? I mean, you could trade him for assets because potentially a playoff team would want him. I mean, again, Dallas Keuchel's not the guy for the future success right now on for the White Sox, but maybe the assets that he could bring in a trade could lead to future success of the White Sox. So, listen, if they're in contention, go get both guys, whatever. But again, this is all about the core. You know, Santana, great. He kept you in the game last night, right? He wasn't a complete idiot. Not quite as bad as you, Darvish, for a lot less money.
I have a few things I need to get through before I open it up to your questions.
With 9 days before the NFL draft, is your interest or enthusiasm dulled because the Bears don't pick until the third round? Who is the most intriguing player in the draft for you?
I am always interested in the NFL draft. I will be getting all the books and making sure I'm all caught up, and I'll be sitting in front of the TV, and I'll be checking guys off my board as they go. I love the NFL draft. I don't like it, and I'm very curious to see what happens with Kyler Murray. I think that he is the key player to the draft. As he goes, so will the draft then go. I think that if he ends up going number one and they end up passing on Nick Bosa, and it's going to be fascinating to see if there's a trade made on draft day, if they have to get rid of their quarterback, if they're waiting to see what happens with other people's in the quarterback position, with other teams in the quarterback position. I'll be very curious to see. I really believe the intrigue of this draft begins with the first pick. And I think that there are a bunch of players in it that I am very interested in, and I'm monitoring closely and seeing what the rumor mill has to say about them. But I think it really starts with that number one selection.
I love the draft. I can't get enough of it. Every year I laugh at the idea that we overcover it or talk about it too much. The ratings show that there's interest. They've spread it out over 3 days because they can, and the people love the idea of possibility. You know, that it's marketing potential, and everybody loves potential.
You need to introduce yourself to these guys.
Yes.
They're going to be in your life for a long time.
Yeah.
You want to see what suit they're wearing. You want to see
how do they
who
dress?
They're hugging. And how, yeah. I'm just saying, it's part and parcel.
Are you drafting somebody who's all tatted up with jewelry? Are you getting somebody who, you need to know these things. So I'm fascinated no matter where the Bears are selecting this year. I understand why they're going to the third round. I'm intrigued by the idea of them moving up to the second to get a running back. They've convinced themselves that they really have to.
Kid from Iowa State.
Yeah, that they can't live without. Maybe that's a possibility. All sorts of local angles. But nationally, you're right. Kyler Murray is the key player in this draft. But I don't know that he's going to be the first overall. You keep hearing momentum.
That's what's good.
Nick Bosa is a guy that if he goes to the Cardinals, how far will Kyler Murray fall?
Oh, he could fall.
He could fall to the middle of the first round.
That's a great story.
He could fall later. There are going to be four quarterbacks probably taken in the first round. Kyler Murray doesn't necessarily have to be the number one overall pick. If I were betting today, even though it's lying season in the NFL, I would say that he would go to the Cardinals because I do think the marriage between coach and quarterback is so important in the league. But if the Cardinals go the safe route, the quote-unquote safe route, and they take Nick Bosa, I would understand that all day because you have to build with defense, and they do have a first-round quarterback. Maybe they don't believe him, but Josh Rosen isn't terrible. I still think
on the scouting report, not terrible?
Not terrible. He's kind of like Darvish with you. You could live with him because he's here.
He's here.
Yeah.
So, Grody, give me more of the draft. I love it.
I got to tell you what. There's a name. Molly, you mentioned Iowa State, and I don't know if this is the guy that you were perhaps alluding to, but there's a guy at the combine that I fell
Jose
in love
Altuve.
With. No, not Altuve, but he was second on my list. There's a receiver from Iowa State. His name is Hakeem Butler. This guy is 6'6", 225. He's a guy with a chip on his shoulder because he doesn't think he's getting enough attention. And he's also a guy that could possibly go in the first round, but as low as the third round, where I would love to see the Bears take him because I think they could use another big-bodied target for Mitchell Trubisky just because of the rapport that we saw him have with Allen Robinson and just because also there's a lot of smaller receivers on the Bears right now. So this guy, Hakeem Butler, is somebody that is most intriguing to me.
Molly was referring to David Montgomery. Yeah, the running back.
Okay, you were going running back.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, they got rid of their running back. They're clearing out a spot already.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Jordan Howard, no longer there. To that end, Benny Snell was a guy that I really liked at the combine from Kentucky, so he's a possibility at number three as well. But Hakeem Butler is my guy.
Good call, Grody.
6'2", 225. He's Megatron. Aw.
Nice.
You know, I have to be honest here. I think my enthusiasm is dulled a little bit for the draft because the Bears aren't picking for a while. Also, there's going to be the fact that I'm going to be on vacation next week, so I probably won't be able to watch the damn thing live as well.
Where are you going?
The Caribbean.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Big shooter.
Kepo got a passport. Ooh. That's called love, buddy.
Finally got... I'm an international traveler. But
where in the Caribbean?
Turks and Caicos.
Oh, my goodness. Kevin got a raise.
I guess he was the one person that got a tax return.
I didn't pay for it. No. So,
cuckoo, ca-choo, Mrs. Robinson.
Leave it at that. I digress.
Is the Widow Robinson taking you?
Father. Father.
By the way, write off your cable.
I think I can afford cable.
Can you write off my Hulu, David? David talked
there
to
we go,
Hulu.
Yeah.
Can you write
Hulu,
off Hulu,
live
David?
Sports.
Indeed, you can.
The most intriguing player in the draft for me is probably Nick Bosa because he is a tremendously talented player, but he does have some warts, I think you could say. And depending...
You're that personal with Nick? Are those in between his thumb and his... Take it easy.
I don't think Kyler Murray is a number one pick. And I don't think that even with the relationship with Cliff Kingsbury, whatever that may be, even though the Cardinals may or may not have a quarterback yet, I don't think that Kyler Murray, as good as he was last year, is worthy of the number one pick in the draft. I think that they should go with Bosa or Williams from Alabama. I think you do need to start on the defensive line, David, like you brought up, because that team's got a long way to go. And I think that there are more important things to address than a quarterback that really, at this point in time, is still a bit of a wild card in my mind.
Yeah, I love the draft. I usually love the draft. This one has kind of snuck up on me, and if we're being honest, on most of us. And I don't know if it's because the Bears don't seem to have as many needs as usual, and they don't draft until the weekend instead of on...
The opening night,
the big Thursday night first rounder. I'm with Grody. I really am intrigued by that running back from Kentucky. That kid,
Benny Snell.
That kid could be the guy, the ground and pound guy that I do think that they need to replace. If Russell Wilson is worth that kind of dough and that kind of contract, and I know he's won Super Bowls and gotten teams, you know, This is why the quarterback from Oklahoma decided to play football and not baseball. When you see that if there is such a thing as a mini me to Russell Wilson, I guess he's the mini me Russell Wilson, right? And how wherever he goes is how this draft is going to go. He's already committed to showing up to the draft. So I think that'll be interesting to see if he doesn't go number one. Will this be one of those green room things where he's perspiring as he waits to see where he ends up? So I'm intrigued. I can't wait for it and bring on the draft.
You think the Russell Wilson contract is a reason to play football? Didn't you see what Machado and Harper and Trout got over the offseason?
I did, but they're not quarterback. I'm saying he's a quarterback.
Smallish quarterbacks with speed and accuracy.
He's a quarterback. I think there's more of a correlation between his game and Russell Wilson's game than his game. And I've never seen him play baseball, but I don't think he's got any pop. I think he's just a brilliant fielder and a run guy, a speed guy. I don't think he's got any kind of pop like those guys have.
Well, I think that's a great question, and for us, it's pretty easy.
Did the Bears solve their kicker woes by signing former AAF kicker Elliott Fry? Is Robbie Gould not reporting to 49ers workout something that the Bears should monitor?
Well, you do like the chances of a guy named Fry handling the pressure cooker.
okay.
Yeah. I like this one more than the other guys. You know, at least I've seen Elliott Fry kick a field goal in the snow longer than 40 yards. 43 yarder. It was in the AAF. It was for Orlando. It was, you know, it wasn't high stakes, but it was through the uprights.
Who's playing who this weekend in the AAF?
Okay.
All right. The schedule.
No.
The funny thing was that was supposed to be the lead into Sunday's Masters. They were going to play. And then I wonder what they would have done with the weather at the Masters, with the AAF game have been canceled, like Meet the Press and all the other shows on CBS.
Yeah. Right? Well, we'll never know. But Elliott Fry took advantage of his opportunity when the AAF did exist to have a pretty good audition. 14 of 14, he did not miss. He had a very decorated career at South Carolina, very consistent. He was 66 out of 88 in college. Doesn't mean anything. But of all the guys that they have signed so far, he's the one you may trust the most, only, again, because of the conditions he has kicked in. So maybe he's the guy you saw, but Robbie Gould not having signed yet with the 49ers, with some contention going on out there. We don't know exactly what is being said behind closed doors. We do know that they talked to Steven Gostkowski before Gostkowski signed back with the Patriots. So Robbie Gould clearly has an issue with returning to San Francisco. Will that mean anything to the Bears? I don't know that the Bears would actually sign him if he was available, to be honest with you, because you don't know if they would spend that kind of money that he might be looking for. But I do think it bears monitoring, definitely, if you're the Bears, because you may feel better about your kicking situation, but you haven't solved it yet.
Yeah, I can't get too worked up about Robbie Gould. He's under contract to another team. They can't get to him unless he decides to retire and the Niners give them permission, which I would imagine would come with something. You'd have to give up something to get something. So I'm not Robbie Gould's not on my radar because of the fact that he's the property of another organization. So I'm looking at Elliott Fry, Chris Blewett, and Redford Jones, and I'm saying, go get someone in the draft. I mean, this is going to be a kickoff, guys. This is going to be here's what's going to happen. They're going to have a bunch of guys try out. One of them is going to be the guy they choose, and then by week two or three, they're going to sign some guy off the street. I mean, it's
– You draft they, one? They you, are, you would draft a, quarter,
I,
a kicker?
I don't think there's anybody to draft. I don't think there's anybody that – the problem with drafting one – is you have a limited number of picks. What, they got five picks? And you're saying, you're putting your stamp of approval. This is the guy that we think can do it. So you almost have to have him on your roster. If you draft one, he better be the guy. So now you got a bunch of dudes trying out. I don't know if any of them can do it. I'd be surprised if that were the case. And, again, Cody Parkey will be – where's he going? Is he signed anywhere? Is he going anywhere? Why not just keep him? He paid him a fortune. Just cut him.
Packers signed another kicker yesterday.
I saw that. Yeah. Maybe he'll end up there if we're lucky. I just think that this every year there's been one kind of boogeyman spot. I hope it's not kicker again this year, but I don't have tons of confidence. Elliott Fry, I did watch him play. I can't say that about Chris Blewett, and I can't say it about Redford Jones. And if you're going to make jokes about guy's last name,
Blouet. It's well, Blouet, right?
Well, it should be.
Thank you, Grote.
Blouet, there you go. So I just hate still that the Bears are in this situation because, quite frankly, the answer to the question is, I have no idea. I have no idea if Elliott Fry is a good kicker in the NFL. I have no idea if Redford Jones would be a good kicker in the NFL. And I have no idea if Chris Blewett would be a good kicker in the NFL. And there are, at this point, we are just trusting the Bears organization and their scouting that these are legitimate potential candidates and that they'll work it out in training camp. But again, it's too bad that this is a big part of what we're talking about in the Bears offseason because of Cody Parkey. As far as Robbie Gould is concerned, I mean, it's worth monitoring just because Robbie Gould, it's obvious, wants badly to be with the Bears. He would love to be with the Bears. I mean, all you have to do is follow him on social media. He's popping up at some public place in Chicago every chance that he gets. So, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. If the Bears really had wanted to make a play for him, they already would have. But I do find it interesting that Robbie Gould, the kicker, has not reporting to workouts yet.
They are voluntary workouts, okay? Robbie Gould's a veteran. He doesn't have to be there if he doesn't want to be. It's voluntary.
The guy lives out of a hotel. Yeah. You know, give him a break.
We all know what voluntary means.
Believe me, I'm aware.
He's not for
I'm sure
long.
That Motel 6 is a stretch too, Molly. I'm sure it's really tough. You know, I'm 100 count thread sheets.
Robbie Gould is his relationship with Bears fans is like an old like high school relationship, like your old girlfriend, and it never really quite worked out at the time, and you had some good times, and then you drifted apart, and then you started to reconnect a little bit. It's just, it's too high school for me. Get the whole Robbie Gould thing out of here. It's done. It's dusted. Get over it. Find a new kicker. Although I don't want this new kicker to be Elliott Fry. He's got AAF stink all over him. I don't want any of these washout bums from that horse crap organization that they tried getting started. By the way, I told all of you that the AAF was a clown show. It was a joke. And look at me now.
It's horse stink.
The stink is my line, by the way. That's my bit.
Is that a new thing around here?
Yeah. Well, when people have White Sox stink on them and they ruin the Cubs.
okay.
See Jose Quintana, except when he pitches against the Brewers.
He's pitching tonight.
Mm-hmm. Big start. Better get it done. Get her done. I have fatigue from Robbie Feed My Family Gold right now. I mean, if you were a 49ers fan, why would you even want this guy? He doesn't want to be there. He was franchise tagged. I mean, I don't expect the kickers to show up for the OTAs. I mean, what's he going to do? Have his chip, his little 60-degree loft, and he's going to chip balls inside the dome? I mean, that's what they do, right? They kick a couple balls, and then they go play golf. So that part doesn't bother me, but it's just amazing that it's a thing. Like, you can't have fatigue over the Bears kicking situation. It's too important. We saw what happened last year. And Grody saying, I don't know. You know who doesn't know? Ryan Pace doesn't know. That's why they got three guys under contract right now. And I'm with Mully. They're probably going to draft a guy too, right? I mean, this is going to be a
thing. Or not drafted free agent.
Right. I mean, there's going to be my point is there's going to be a fourth guy. I don't think your Bears kicker week one opening night against the Green Bay Packers on the lakefront is necessarily in a Bears uniform right now. And I don't even know if he's on the Bears radar right now. That's how unsure they are. And that's what has me scared right now. I don't know that Robbie Gold is in the mix, so I don't even know why we're talking about him.
You know, this is an awkward question, Casey.
Get ready for soccer's first tournament of the year on July 16th. Catch the International Champions Cup as AS Roma battles Chivas de Guadalajara right in their own backyard at SeatGeek Stadium. Get tickets at SeatGeek.com. Today, is St. John's a better college basketball head coaching job than Loyola? And how concerned are you about Porter Moser leaving?
Well, I my advice to Porter would be to take the job if it's offered to him. Because I think that, you know, it's a bigger conference. It's obviously, you know, you got to move to New York. It's in Queens. There are a lot of family considerations to take to worry about things. You know, where he's at now. He's in a great new home, right? We all know that, and he's close to Loyola, and has his kids in school and everything. So I think it's a family decision. But I mean, if you're a lifer and you're a head coach, and you get an opportunity to move up in the world, and this is a move up. This is probably twice the money he makes at Loyola. You're talking about moving into the Big East Conference. Now, the program's a mess. They've had two guys declare for the draft, and they've had one kid already get a letter of transfer. Two other kids apparently have a foot out the door. And I would imagine there'll be a lot of problems with the Ramblers if indeed Porter leaves, because there isn't an heir apparent there, so they would have to move quickly to sign a head coach and make sure that they can keep a pretty good recruiting class in place. They just got a junior college kid to sign. I would imagine that kid will reopen his recruitment. It's I don't want to see Porter leave. I'm an alum, and I think he's done a great job. But I would say that it's probably best for his coaching career. I don't know if it's best for his life, but it's best for his coaching career to go to take a job at St. John's high profile program. Again, you got to recruit New York. You got to be able to recruit the East Coast. He did get Marcus Towns, who is from New Jersey, to play at Loyola, so he must have some kind of connections out that way. They've apparently offered him the job, and I at this point would be surprised if he didn't take it.
It's quality of life discussion. That's one that only he and his family can have. We can't answer that for Porter Moser. I understand why he would leave. I understand why he would be ambitious. And you look at it's a math problem. He makes less than just under $1 million at Loyola. And Chris Mullin was making $2 million to coach St. John's. So if you're looking at that alone, there's no way that Loyola can probably match that salary. I don't think that they would. They would not step up and do that. They gave him a raise last year after the Final Four. He is stepping into a situation, Mully, as you said, that would be kind of unsettled. You have players that maybe are on the way out. You also have an administration that has been split on what their solution should be. You have the athletic director who favored the Iona coach, Tim Kloos, but the buyout was too high, so maybe that wasn't the direction he wanted to go. And then the administration, a guy from the administration stepped in and said, hey, Porter Moser's here. Let's interview him. and maybe he's there because the buyout with Iona was too high of a price to pay. Those are unanswered questions, but the bottom line is that Loyola should be worried that they're going to lose this coach. They're going to have to go to plan B that they didn't expect. Porter assured Brian Mullins he was going to be here long term. Brian Mullins went to SIU. He was the heir apparent. Now what do you do? Bryce Drew's on the street. John Shire is a candidate. You're going to have some options if Porter leaves, but I don't think those are questions you want to answer. So today's a big day for Loyola basketball because Porter was there last night, and as reports out of New York say, that he was offered the job.
Yeah, and if he does leave, I was just thinking, piggybacking on what you were saying there, David, that if he does leave, maybe considering what he did for the program, at least for 1 year, maybe he makes the Loyola program something that is going to be a little bit more wanted than it would have been, and you could get some actual candidates that could replace him. Is St. John's a better basketball head coaching job? Yeah, I mean, it's New York City, it's the Big East, but I feel like that program hasn't been a big deal since Louis Carnesecca, so maybe that would be the challenge for Porter Moser in going to St. John's. You know, I feel like it's... He probably does have an unbelievable comfort level in Loyola or at Loyola and in Chicago and being from here and making good coin. But it just depends on how ambitious Porter Moser is at this point in his life. Does he want to completely change his life for this, or does he want to stay here in Chicago? But yeah, of course you should be concerned about him leaving. Yes.
Yeah, it's a concern for sure. They gave the last head coach a lot of money. By the way, Lou Carnesecca retired in 1992, Grody. I think you were maybe exaggerating a little bit there.
No. I mean, the last time I remember them being a big deal was in the 80s.
Yeah. Well,
right?
Yeah, close,
I mean,
close
Walter
enough.
Berry.
Sort of like DePaul.
Well, whichever job pays you more money is the better job. So if he can get more money, if he can get $2 million a year like they were paying Chris Mullin, I salute. Go for it.
They have a commitment to the basketball program there that you wouldn't get at Loyola, and I think he has sort of found a winning formula for himself and knows how to the kind of kids he wants to get. And if he gets some New York ties to some of his assistants recruiting wise, I think he'll be fine.
And we're leaving a lot of, you know, decent guys out. I mean, Fran Fraschilla was there, Mike Jarvis was there. Jarvis had
Lavin.
Well, I was gonna get to that. Yep. You know, Lavin was there. Yeah, I've got my Wikipedia page open to make sure I put them in chronological order. So just for the sake of chronology, so Fraschilla followed Brian Mahoney, who followed Frank somebody, who followed Lou Carnesecca, and Lavin was there, and then Chris Mullin. Listen, it would be an upgrade for St. John's. I'm not so sure that that's an upgrade for Porter Moser. I know on paper it is, and paper, if it's all, it shouldn't be all about, I didn't think, is Porter, what we don't, here's what we don't know. And maybe we do know, but we can't say it. Is Porter mad at the Loyola administration? I heard $1.3 million is what I heard he's making. $1.3 million.
That's high. I don't think it's that high. Okay. But he comes from money. It's not like he needs the money. But, Dustin, to answer the question, answer me this question. The Loyola run to the Final Four, can he do that again? Can he do that again there?
Have you peaked as a coach?
I don't think he can do it in the Big East. I know the Big East isn't the Big East. But why would kids want to stay in New York City and play basketball? Who's the last big recruit that New York City
got? Two kids that just declared for the draft.
You can recruit St. John's.
Yeah.
I was serious, though. The last time that they were like a real perennially good program was...
Mike Jarvis had them in the top 20 for a while. He did.
Did they do any... I don't remember if they did any in the tournaments,
but they had them in the top 20. I think this is kind of a lateral move. The other thing is he wasn't their first choice. So if he's looking for some hot air blowing up his backside, what do you mean shaking your head?
That never bothers these guys though.
You should, if you're the first choice, it's different than being the third choice.
It wouldn't bother me if I got a job because I wasn't the first guy they chose. Who cares?
If you come from money and you're making over $1 million, he's definitely making over $1 million a year.
I don't think he is. I think that's right part there. Of the problem. I think he's right under
so
a million.
So the report I heard on one of our stations is $400,000 off. That's a lot. That's a big mistake.
Well, I'm just telling you what I know and what I have been told, and I think it's just under $1 million.
I would I would say thank you to Porter for the job he did here and let the guy move on.
Yeah. I would say thank you, too. I'm just shocked that you're okay with this.
Well, that's what I'm most shocked about. Well, you know what? I mean, I'm being realistic about it. If someone gives you a job, what are you supposed to do? I mean, I wouldn't move out of Chicago for double the money I make because I like it here and I'm doing fine. I don't have a major issue. I like my family and I don't want them leaving school. But, I mean, for $2 million, see ya.
What about if he does the Pat Fitzgerald model, where he can own that school, make a little bit more money, and just be happier?
I mean, I don't think they need to pour money into the program.
Yeah, and I don't think you want to go back to your administration for a raise if you're Porter Moser because you got a better offer.
I would be surprised if he didn't just take this job. Yeah. Seriously, I think it's a pretty good opportunity, and God bless him and safe passage. Don't take Sister Jean. We're going to need her to get the next guy.
Yeah, she can stay, right?
Who's the Michigan assistant? Is it Jakic? That'd be a good hire.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
That'd be a real good hire. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.